Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. It's sort of a gray day outside there, and markets are, of course, always fascinating.
We have a few questions to take a look at today. The first one comes from Michael. Hi, Bob. This week I heard some chatter regarding worries of possible stagflation in the near future. What's your take on stagflation?
Oh, the stagflation story is in the market. Fully there. And that is the idea that you're going to have inflation with a flat economy. And it's just one step towards the economy heading south, and with it, consumer prices come down maybe to 0 or 1% rate of inflation. So yeah, it's the stagflation story is pretty much a cyclical thing, and it's the transition when the street begin to realize that the worst of the inflation is in. So then you go to stagflation, and they really can't take the next step, which is weakening everything.
And of course, another phenomenon we're seeing in the grocery store is shrinkflation, where they charge you the same as a liter of milk or cream, but they give you 946 milliliters instead.
Oh yeah, I know. I've got examples of that from the 1500s in Europe, whereby the problem was inflation, and the poor merchants or bakers or whatever were having trouble keeping up with things, and it's the same old problem, whether it's in the 1500s or more recently.
We also have another question. This one comes from Willem in the Netherlands. There's a saying that there isn't a bell ringing when the markets have reached their ultimate top, but it seems this time there certainly was a bell ringing at the top of the market. Those who have listened to Mr. Hoy many times should recognize that it seems this time there was a bell ringing, and that bell is called the silver-gold ratio. Both silver and this ratio went parabolic in the last weeks. We all know what the meaning is of the gold-silver ratio, right? Now, does that coincide with a very bullish market, and does it coincide with a Dow warning signal?
Yeah, it's very good, Willem, to bring this one up. I spent the week working on copper, and then just yesterday noticed that, hey, the gold-silver ratio had really made a distinctive move. It had been in quite a broad trading range for a long time, so yeah. Yeah, you're right on those subjects there, and the sudden move in the gold-silver ratio is forecasting a probable financial crisis. Not sure of the lead on that one. We're going to have to get our old charts out on this one and bring them up to date. Yeah, but you made a very timely point here.
Bob, you spent the week digging into copper. What can you tell us?
Oh, probably topping. Copper stocks were outstanding and became overbought. Copper's overbought. Now, also, earlier in the year, we noted that copper kind of likes seasonal moves with one to March and then the other to July. You get kind of a second rally out of copper in the year until July. So probably this latest rally is more or less satisfying the potential for a rally into July. I wouldn't hang on until July. They're both stocks and the metal are kind of overdone. So, but this, my God, some of those copper stocks have done very, very well. And Ross had a pretty good handle on those earlier in the year. So it's been a hot sector. Oh, yeah, the other one that was really extraordinarily hot was cocoa. Oh, we did the chart on that, you know, a trading range for about 10 years, and then all of a sudden, straight up. So, yeah, there were weather threats to the cocoa bean crop, but it was just an excuse for legions of traders around the world to get on board and drive it straight up. And, of course, getting whacked so far has come down steeper than even the final leg up. So, and that's the way highly speculative markets work. You're very steep in the final jump up, and then even steeper on the reversal and the decline, the initial decline. So it's another one of these ones where a couple of years ago it was lithium. Everybody had to have lithium, and then, remember, lithium got up to 600,000. Now it's about 93,000. So, yeah, these things they have their day in the sun, and then they crash.
A headline that you might be interested in as well, is copper sowing the seeds of its own return to Earth?
Yeah, that's a good observation in that headline, yeah.
Is it like Yogi Berra said, that place is so popular, no one goes there anymore?
Yeah.
We'll take a look at more headlines when we return with Bob Hoy.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your eye, Goldman Trader, everyone is making money. It shouldn't be this easy.
Yeah, I take that as the public, the general public is really in this market, and this is what the trader wisely observed. Everyone is making money, and that's associated with an important top.
Well, wasn't that like the big crash back in 1929? Everybody was making money in the stock market, and if you weren't in the stock market, you were told you were a fool.
Well, I think it was Bernie Baruch, your great investor speculator, and he said when they would have shoeshine boys outside of the big office buildings, and everybody wore leather shoes so they'd get them polished up, and he says when the shoeshine boy is giving stock tips, watch out, that kind of thing. So,
and isn't that what's happening right now? Everybody's got an app on their phone, and they're just doing their trading there. They're not doing any research.
Well, nobody gets their shoe shined anymore, so we're bereft of that indicator. But yeah, everybody's in on the excitement. It's wonderful.
Headline: China is buying gold like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, this I looked into it, and it was the retail consumer, ordinary folk are buying gold, and it is the appropriate thing to do. Have some gold bullion, you know, in a safety deposit box as protection against anything. Gold stocks will, when they're moving, will be outperforming the S&P. We've discussed that one. So, but the gold sector is kind of overbought recently. It has become popular.
Well, you have Walmart and Costco now selling gold retail.
I like that idea. The marketing guys there saw a need for it, and I think they're selling maybe special wafers of some kind. Mm-hmm. I'm not certain on that yet, but no, this is good business. It's providing product for the retail sector at probably a competitive markup. You know, very probably very little markup. It's I think it's an outstanding service. I might have to go to Walmart and check it out.
They're always sold out. I check it out myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. People are buying gold like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you can get both there.
Yeah.
Headline, Tesla is renting parking lots to store thousands of vehicles. What, they can't sell them?
That's right. The electric vehicle, or let's be more accurate, the battery vehicle, the fad is over. We've been talking about that for a year. And Tesla stock took a hell of a whack, as did other electric car manufacturers. So, we were bold last year and said that the fad was over, and the action is confirming that. And it was just a crazy fashionable item to have a battery car. They're extremely impractical.
Joe Biden passed a law that they're going to put a 100% tariff on Chinese electric vehicles. That's because in China, the government subsidizes them, and you can get an electric vehicle for 10 grand instead of 80 or 90.
Yeah, no, there's curious things going on there. But the main thing is that people were buying them because they considered that there was zero emissions, zero bad stuff coming out of a tailpipe, because they don't have a tailpipe. But just in making the things is a tremendous insult to the environment. Then you've got the risk of those lithium batteries blowing up at a without even any notice. And then you have a problem. Now, we see quite a few Teslas in Vancouver. There's a sort of an ideal climate for them. It's not too hot, so you don't have to use the air conditioning. And it's not too cold, so you don't have to use too much heat. So therefore, you're getting a better range out of your juiced-up battery than you would, say, out in Denver or something like that, where it gets not just cold in the winter but hot in the summertime. So probably Vancouver, Seattle is the ideal place in North America to have such a car. And Lord knows how many, whenever you go out, how many you see of these things. It's amazing. But I will stay with the theme that the fad is over. And even Ford, the head of Ford Motors the other day said something about, oh, it's over, it's been expensive, and let's move on kind of thing. So,
although I recall in 1965, the head of IBM said, I can't see the need for more than, say, 5 to 8 computers in the world.
Yeah, well, they were then talking about huge computer capacity, which required rooms and cooling and everything else. And then he was not aware of the forthcoming laptop and miniaturization. So, yeah, but that's quite a famous statement.
And, of course, an American automotive executive said in the 70s, I can't see a Japanese car maker ever taking over the number one spot in North America. Hello, Honda.
Well, how about Toyota, yeah, the biggest car manufacturer, you know, up there? I think still bigger than Volkswagen. So, and Toyota, I have the greatest admiration for.
Hmm. Yeah, started off as a bicycle repairman. I think he started off as a bicycle repairman.
That may be worthwhile looking up, Jim. Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm.
Or Mr. Honda. I think it was Mr. Honda.
That
and gasoline was prohibited in post-Japan. Gasoline was heavily rationed. And so he would sneak gasoline into his shop so he could make motorcycles
and
fuel them.
No,
yeah,
no,
it's a fascinating story.
The history of Honda and Toyota, yeah, for sure.
But those were all people who literally started their business in their backyard. And
well, that's what Henry Ford did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And our final headline, industrial production disappoints manufacturing contracts as downward revisions continue.
Yeah, the theme, the key thing there is downward revisions. And also, every once then, in the last few months, there's been a headline of such and such plunges. You know, these are, everybody's thinking the economy's doing okay, except you get these punctuation marks where some main economic series or indicator plunges, and that's what's happening underneath it all. I think that the economy has probably rolled over, but what's keeping things together is people still trying to get back to normal from the COVID lockdown, and plus you got all these maybe 10 million immigrants that they brought in. Now, what's happening there? But we're going to stick with the financial markets. The credit spreads have widened a little, but nothing serious. The advanced decline line, which is stock market breadth, is right up there, about as best as it gets. And so the market is clocking excesses, and from which a decline is the most likely way out of it. And so we look at that, you know, things can be positive to constructive through to mid-year. And then after mid-year is when things begin to change. Like, for example, you can start, after mid-year, you can start looking for a seasonal low for copper in November. And then you have also, if you've been in a party stock market, which we are, it's likely to go wrong in the fall, which it'll likely do. So I think there's every chance of a financial crisis being discovered after September, if not in the final week of September, Jim, just to be a little more precise there, fooling around.
Bob, thank you so much for being on the show.
Jim, good to be with you, and looking forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.